Fandom. With your host, Jesse Lawson. Welcome back, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners. This week, my guest is former NWP Washington State Champion, former NWP's Best of the Northwest 2016, and former Cascade Championship Wrestling's Heavyweight Champion, Jared Savage. Kind of a shorter episode, didn't have much time for the interview. The interview itself is about 30 minutes long. Audio quality is on my side. Still trying to figure out this whole how to get Skype to work for me for these interviews. This is only part one of Jared's interview due to how short it was on the time constraints. You guys enjoy it. Jared's a damn good man, damn good friend of mine. I hope you all enjoy it. Before I leave you to the interview, just want to remind everybody, Northwest Pro will be back in Post Falls, Idaho this coming Friday, September 25th at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho, live and free with a suggested donation to help these boys get back to the other side of the state. Everyone keeps asking me, is it free or is it pay? It's all free. We love the fans. We do ask for a suggested donation to help out with the production cost of the show, travel costs, yada yada yada. So if you're anywhere around Spokane or Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, please come out, support these guys. Plus Marty the Moth will be here and Trevor Murdoch will be here. It's going to be an awesome show. I really hope you guys enjoy it. Unfortunately, I won't be there this month. Apparently duties call. But I hope you guys enjoy. Like I said, this Friday, Northwest Pro comes back to town. And you know what? Instead of me rambling, let's go to Jared Savage. Welcome back, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners. I'm here with a very good friend of mine, Jared Savage, from Northwest Pro. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm pretty decent. Not gonna lie, I'm still like, holy shit, I'm on podcast, hell yeah. But I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited. I'm feeling good.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. I'm glad to hear. Well, Jared, I love that you've come to the podcast and share your fandom stories. I always like to start the podcast with getting some background on you. When was the first show you ever seen? Like, how'd you get into being a wrestling fan?
So, wrestling's been around, like, as long as I can remember. I don't remember a time where wrestling wasn't around. My grandpa watched it. My Uncle Jackie watched it. His kids watched it. And pretty much everybody did. At least when I first, came into the world. And then I do remember, as time went on, like, my uncle and his kids, they stopped watching it. But me and my grandpa, we kept watching it. I never stopped. I always loved it. But as far as, like, my first show, if we're going to, talk about that.
Yeah.
My first show that I ever went to, which was an indie show, I'm from Illinois. I was raised in Marseilles, Illinois, up until I turned 10. And we moved out here to Washington, all that. So, I think I was nine. The school that I went to in town, we had an indie company called Powerhouse Wrestling. They rolled through. And I remember actually the day before the show, and this is how we even found out it was happening to the kids. They had a guy who worked the show named Dr. Timothy Lyle. He came and did a whole like conference, seminar, whatever you want to call it, where talking about drugs are bad, you know, all the stuff you should hear. But you know, he just gave a big, you know, speech thing, whatever. I remember too, he also went on about how he used to be in a tag team with Kane back when Kane was on the indies. He even had like a picture like that everybody saw with it. I remember that next day at the show they were selling VHS tapes. It said Kane, Glenn Jacobs on this tape. They had a big stack of them. But yeah, that was my first indie show. I remember actually Honky Tonk Man was featured on it. He was a kind of an asshole from what I remember, but I mean, I was a kid, so whatever, you know. He was there making money. I don't blame him.
Yeah. And plus, being a kid growing up watching Honky Tonk Man, I can see why he thought he was probably more of an asshole.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely believed in kayfabe and everything then, so I believe that he was a legitimate douchebag. And I mean, I'll say this, he wasn't rude to me or anything. He was all right, but I didn't say a lot to him. I mainly remember he had a world heavyweight title replica in front of him, and he went on this spiel about how, you know, when I was in the business, this was a toy, blah 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 blah. And I just for some reason specifically remember that. But he was all right. It was still pretty cool looking back. Like, I'm glad I got to go to that show. I don't remember a lot of the actual wrestling from the show because all the kids who were there, which I went to school with, we were all running around. So whenever someone came out, we were all, like, huddled around. Like, I'm telling you right now, those motherfuckers probably thought that they were hot shit. Like, those were the pops that they probably weren't getting in most places. They felt like superstars.
Hey, we both have been on shows like that, so.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I remember plenty of good shows where crowds are awesome, and plenty where there's no crowds at all.
Straight up. So, when I first met you and started crashing on your floor, when I got into this crazy business of ours, you showed me a pretty extensive Bone Crunchers collection. You always been a action figure collector?
Oh yeah, my whole life I collected wrestling figures, and the BCAs have always been my favorites. They were forever will be, because that's what I grew up with. Like, that's what I remember being my first, you know, like major figures. Other than I do, to clear up for the record, my first actual figures were some thumb wrestlers. They were generics. My buddy Al, if you remember Al, he has a bunch of them. They're like, one looks exactly like Hogan with blue trunks, and the other, I'm assuming, supposed to be Macho Man, but long hair, you know, black goatee, and he has red tights.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, other than that, yeah, the main ones I remember as a kid were BCAs. So yeah, always been a big fan of them, and figures my whole life have just always been something I collected. Really anything wrestling, it didn't matter what it was, as long as it's wrestling, I collect it. But figures are probably the thing I own the most of.
Now, you did a lot of figure photography before a lot of people did, and you had a massive, awesome looking setup about 5 years ago. What got you into doing that big old display and getting into figure photography?
So, as long as I can remember, I always had like the idea that I wanted to, like, I'd always have these little daydreams of like, man, what if, because at the time I think I was thinking of Jax. So I was like, man, what if Jax put out a whole arena set? Because, they would put out, like, I'm sure you remember those shitty talking rings that came with a scaffold and everything. They had a couple of those, and don't get me wrong, those were really cool. Those were actually really cool at the time. But I always thought, man, they could do something bigger than this. And I remember the entrance stages, all that. I ended up, getting a couple in my life. So I was like, man, well, I hope eventually maybe I could figure out something for a crowd or whatever. And then I remember I seen it was in WWE Magazine, someone had made a whole set. They used the oval SmackDown stage. It was mainly an Attitude, era style setup. But I remember seeing that, and then later on, maybe a couple years later, I started seeing printouts online. This guy named the Warsman, who actually still he's still in the figure game. He's awesome. He makes 3D printed heads, head sculpts. So, he's changing the game and all that. But he started out doing like, you do the printout sets. So he did like the crowd. There's a couple entrance sets. There's like the funeral parlor, Piper's Pit, etc. He did a bunch of them. So I tried doing the crowd set, which, you ended up seeing in my pictures. And I don't know, man. I just always thought, I was like, well, I could probably do something cool with my figures. I knew I couldn't do stop motion. I wasn't exactly that talented, but I always thought, well, I could at least do something cool. So I don't know. I just started doing photography one day, and it's evolved, I guess. Sadly, it's not where I want it to be right now, because there is an update with that whole set. I did buy finally, because there's extremesets.com. They make the instead of printouts, you can actually buy crowd sets now, like these giant setups. I bought their recent crowd set. I also bought a backstage set. So whenever I can get everything situated, you'll be seeing figure photography again. It'll look way better now.
Oh,
I'm actually excited. It'll be
nice.
awesome.
Yeah, it will be awesome. I'm actually looking forward to it. You've showed me a few of the photos of throughout the years, and you were doing pretty good. You were one of the first people I seen actually doing it, and now with Brian Myers and Matt Cardona's podcast, you're seeing figure photography actually pick up.
Oh yeah, dude. There is plenty of Instagram pages that I have followed where it's, people do just photography in general. I see also they got, I guess you call them e-feds, fig feds. I see that a lot too. Like the whole game has changed. To be honest, a lot of the stuff that I see now, I couldn't touch half that. But I'm still gonna do, my best, and I'm gonna put out whatever content I like to put out, because even if I'm not putting out something the same quality, I'm just doing this for fun. So, I can't wait to get back into the game. It's gonna be awesome.
I can't wait to see it. Getting back to the action figures and the memorabilia, I still remember the first night staying at this guy's house. He asked me a question that I'm sure him and everyone else at his place from that point to the end of my travel days, they regretted. Anyone want to play virtual pro?
Oh man, that became a thing where, like, every time that you guys came over, we always played it. We always pulled out the 64. Whether it was just virtual pro, I mean, we played them all, but yeah.
Yeah, but I remember Virtual Pro being the one all of us, we were like, okay, we've played all these American ones. Jared's actually got a Japanese wrestling game. Let's play this. Good times. I remember just the friendly bickering back and forth between all of us playing.
The thing I'll never forget is every time, like, I would end up playing, and if JD showed up, I'd be sitting there, trying to sound like a hard ass and all that, Like, oh yeah, I'm so good. And then JD'd show up, and it didn't matter if we were playing Virtual Pro or whatever, he'd end up coming in and kicking my ass every fucking time. And it's because it's the AKI engine. He was good at those games. And don't get me wrong, I'm good too, but he just always kicked my ass. Always made me look like a bitch. So thanks, JD.
Speaking of JD, that's actually a pretty good segue. You're a professional wrestler. How'd you get your start in the business?
So originally, I knew a guy, and to be honest, I'll just shoot. I don't give a damn. It's not someone that I like exactly, giving much mention of, but the fact is, this is my story here. Fuck this guy for one, but dude's name's Claudio. He's not really around anymore, a shit bag. But I was friends with him. He was really the only guy I knew when I was a kid in the business. And I knew him through this chick that I used to refer to as my sister, and who I'd go to, all the ICP shows, all the Juggalo shows with, everything, He told me there was a free show going on in Paulsbo that he was going to be reffing. And I went to it, and it was SCW. I ended up seeing, just funny now looking back, I've mentioned it to both of them too, but I'll never forget my first time seeing JD. I saw him work Chuck Payne, which I've been in the ring with God knows how many times. Was on a tag team with forever too, well, whole faction. I saw them work, and I remember, I don't know, a couple months later, I remember even seeing JD in a subway, and I got his autograph. I was a big mark, like, oh my God. yeah, I kept that up on my wall forever. And then eventually a friend moved up here from Texas and was living with me, my family. He wanted to wrestle, so I reached out to JD because I didn't know who. I knew of him at least. That was the only person I really knew of. I didn't know of anyone else. I didn't really want to. I asked Claudio. He tried asking Ron Von Hess, and he didn't get back to him. So I got a hold of JD. He said that he was willing to train, and at the time he wasn't. He was about 5 years in, so maybe he shouldn't have been training, to some people or whatever. But to anybody who's seen JD, anybody who's ever been in the ring with JD, JD is one of the best in this state, one of the best, period. So him training at that point, no problem at all. But like I said, he probably would have got a lot of shit. So, he like I said, like, we kept it on the hush hush for a long time. I actually started training with him when I was 14. Yeah, 14, about to be 15. And didn't end up doing my first show until 18. Yeah. But damn, dude, that was like good 4 years. Good 3, 4 years of busting my ass with training before I ever even had a match.
Well, that's good. You see a lot of people out there nowadays that they're in a wrestling school, and 3 months later they're out there, and they still couldn't tell you the difference between a wristwatch and a top wrist lock, so.
Well, you know, another thing too, that a big difference in my training and what other people went through, I didn't actually have a ring. We started, I'll tell you the truth, when I learned how to lock up and I learned how to do an arm wrench, headlock, I learned all that in my front yard, just in the yard, because we knew that we were going to build a ring base. We knew that much. Which, when we built the ring base, we used the backyard method, which I'm sure you know, you're probably very familiar with this method. The whole doing the tires and then doing the plywood on top. Yeah, that's what we did with carpet padding. And we didn't have ropes, but I learned to bump on that, and it was stiff. I ain't gonna lie, it was. It wasn't as stiff as a boxing ring, but it still sucked. But it's probably a good thing I learned there, because anywhere else, you know, I bumped is fine. Except the ring that we only use on big shows over here on this side. The big giant ring we got, that ring still sucks. But every other ring, it's like bumping on pillows. Everybody else has a facility or a school, you know, they go to. Like I said, I learned a little bit more gritty, but I'm glad that I did, because it made me appreciate being in the ring when I finally got a chance to be in a real ring and not just some homemade backyard bullshit. It definitely made me more appreciative of it.
Nice. Now, how long have you been working now?
Well, my first show was the end of 2012, was like December, because I did some training shows. Fuck, man. That's like 8 years.
8 years? No.
Yeah, but if you take away, though, like, you know, the 2 years I was away when I took my little hiatus, which that definitely needed to happen. I'm glad that happened, because now that I'm back, I have a fire lit under my ass, and actually want to be here again. So,
well, that's good. You got burnt out. That happens, you know. Absolutely. You gotta recharge.
That's 100% what happened, dude. I definitely got burnt out. I wasn't happy anymore, which really sucked, because at that point, that was when things were kind of like, all right, I guess they were taken off and away, but, you know, I still wasn't doing a lot, but I was getting more recognition and shit at that point than I had before. Like, that's when, you know, I got the Cascade title, which, you know, that was a really big deal to me. No one ever gave me that chance, but I got that. I also remember, too, I remember my boys in AXE. My buddy Bill had told me about a question that they were asked in an interview about me, how I was, you know, from Fago Lovers, that mentioned that I was, you know, wrestling and doing their gimmick, all that. You know, like, that meant a lot to me, knowing that a website that I had been following, you know, my whole teen years and up to that point, was even noticing what I was doing. It was like, damn, worst time to get burnt out, but like I said, I definitely think it needed to happen, because now that I'm back, I'm loving it. Everything's different. I've done a couple seminars now. I've had two matches back. I feel a lot better than I did. I'm probably a lot fatter too. But, you know, shit happens.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you. You've worked all over the state in the 8 years or so you've been working. As a worker, How has Washington's wrestling scene changed over them 8 years?
Oh, man. A lot, actually. Because even right before I got in, when I was just training, there was even a couple more companies at that point. And then all of a sudden, at that point, there was Pro Wrestling Beyond, there was NWWA, there was Tulalip Championship Wrestling, then SCW. There was a couple companies, and then all of a sudden, all there was SCW. And next thing you knew, NWP popped up, which I think, I don't know. I might be being biased here. I don't know. Either way, I believe the NWP definitely helped start bringing credibility back when there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, next thing you knew, SAW gets in contact with us. And next thing we know, SAW is doing, not backyard shows anymore, but actual indie shows. And then, after that, I'm pretty sure not long after, that's when Cascade, that's when Fuck Over Here, CPW, Combat Pro, SCW changed their thing to WW. That's when Defy, which is booking all the, the big names, the big indie names from all over. All these companies started piling in. 3-2-1, even though that's now defunct, that was also a big deal. That was a big thing. I don't know. It's been really wild, to be honest, watching the roller coaster of a journey that is indie wrestling in Washington. The scene has definitely changed a lot from when I started. Oh, and it definitely, tell you the truth, it makes me realize if I want to go to places like, let's say, Defy or Prestige, or even Without a Cause, or even 5CC, any of those places, I realize I gotta really bust my ass if I want them to book me. It basically lights a fire under everybody if they really want to look at it in that mindset, use it as a way to be a motivator, because our scene is starting to pick up.
Definitely is. When I was in the business, I remember people saying Washington was the place. Washington was the place wrestling went to die.
I can agree with that, because there was a good point where there was no place here that was worth a fuck at all. There is a point where, honestly, there's no way to even get noticed here. Now, I admit, of course, we're still building, Washington's credibility back. But, like I said, 3-2-1 and Defy, all that stuff really helped out a lot. So, we're starting to get eyes back on the area. I mean, shit, dude. Defy was, one of the promotions that the Young Bucks did the, surprise, appearance thing at before AEW, actually kicked off. So there must have been a reason why they chose Seattle, I'm assuming it's because of the buzz.
Yeah. Plus.
But like you said, man, there's definitely a good quote to describe what Washington wrestling used to be, because it wasn't shit. It was a pit of nothingness where people were just wrestling to go nowhere.
Yeah, Washington was definitely a wrestling cesspool at one point in time, and now it's like a beautiful butterfly busting out of a cocoon, because, like you were saying, Defy brings in the very big names, and the smaller little indie territory style companies are running mad shows. Well, when you're able to, almost every weekend in some part of the state, there's a show. And honestly, a lot of our workers in the state, skill-wise, promo-wise, all around, have gotten better.
You know, I will say, though, at that time, you know, it was like, it was, there was a lot of people who weren't as good. But at the same time, there were people who were really good at that time.
Oh, yeah.
That's when Ethan HD was wrestling as Azul Angel. I remember we had Aaron Bolo. I remember Dash Venture. God, man, there's a lot of people who were actually really good at that time who sadly never really, and I'm going to say this too, you know, not all of them was by choice, you know, a lot of personal life reasons, etc. But, you know, a lot of them just didn't get to make it past here, which sucks. But even before, you know, there was a point too where Washington had some, you know, when Pinnacle was around, Becky Lynch worked out here. Tyson Kidd, Harry Smith, Natalya. They, you know, they all worked out here on like a regular basis. Yeah. So, I mean, at one point, it wasn't the worst place, you know. At one point, there was credibility. Yeah. I just don't know what happened to make it so bad at that, you know, good few years where there was nothing. I don't know what happened to cause that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that we finally have gotten out of that rut.
Straight up. The early 2000s around here was just another small little boom, I guess you could kind of say. I mean, like the people you just listed, we also had Spanky, we had Davey Richards working the time.
Davey Richards, dude, fucking, I know you've been on shows with him, Chef. You know, he worked with him. He helped with him before. You know, there's guys that are still around who were around at that point who rubbed shoulders and helped a lot of these people, you know, etc. Like I said, we're not a bad place. We had a lot of really good talent come through here. I just don't know why it was dead for a couple of years, you know. Like I said, I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah, no. I would love to find out myself, because as a teenager, not having any wrestling, especially on my side of the state, it made it very hard to even put a toe in the business to follow my dream. It took till I was about 20 before anything started to happen. So,
yeah, look over there. God, I can only. It's pretty. And I don't mean this in any disrespect, but it's like, it's bad when, like, the only wrestling you end up having over there at one point was, you know, backyard wrestling. Yeah. That was the only wrestling that was, until you guys decided to buy the ring, etc. You know the story, but before, you know, you got to that next level, that's the only wrestling there was in that whole area. Even over just across the border, Idaho. Even now, there still isn't really wrestling besides NWP coming. But yeah, I can't imagine how hard that was, the struggle. Goddamn.
Yeah, that's why me and my friends decided we needed some. And that blossomed. And the Rose, well, as we all know, roses tend to die, but they'll come back eventually.
Well, definitely, even though, you know, SAW might not be around there anymore, and or IPW or whatever you want to call it, it's not there no more, but there's still pieces of it there, you know? Oh, like, yeah. If it wasn't for you guys to be 100, there wouldn't, like I said, there wouldn't have been wrestling over there. So I got to give credit where, you know, credit's due. And also, I mean, we're still have the spirit of it in the sense that, you know, we got Jay Manson working for us, you know, and but like I said, it may not be the same thing, but like you just said, shit comes back. So wrestling has came back.
Exactly.
And hopefully, if anybody's I'm sure you got listeners out that way. Anybody listening, definitely come out on the 25th and check out the NWP show at Curly's in Post Falls, because I'm going to be there whooping ass, and I'd really like to have as many people there packing the house as possible, because I know you're going to be there.
Unfortunately, I won't be.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah. I'll be just getting off of work heading to pick up my kid.
So you got a good reason, though. So I understand. Kids come first.
Yes.
Dad life.
Of course. You know it.
Absolutely.
All right, Jared. I hate to wrap this up. Definitely come back and join us again when we got more free time. Let's extend this. Let's do a watch along. Let's do a round table. Whatever it is, come on back with us.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'm more than down. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. All right, Wrestling Fandom Podcast listeners, that's the show this week. I hope you enjoyed it. And my guest, Jared Savage, make sure you check them out this Friday, September 25th, out here at Curly's in Post Falls. Peace out.
Friday night, September 25th, Northwest Pro presents This Means War, live at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho. In tag team action is former WWE and current NWA star Trevor Murdoch, with a mystery partner to face Lumberstache, NWP champion Lumberzack, and Mikey Moustache. The vacant and Northwest Pro Tag Team Championships will be on the line as Jay Manson teams up with former Lucha Underground star Marty the Moth to take on Action Team Now, JD Mason, and Danger Dean. Roger Hawkins will also be defending his Washington State Championship in a gauntlet match. All this and more live at Curly's Hauser Junction in Post Falls, Idaho. Bell time 5 p.m. Admission is free with a suggested donation. Be there.